with something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
Hello, 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 everyone. How are you doing? How are you doing on this lovely Wednesday, October the 17th? This is Tundi of the Unusual Blessings podcast. I came on because I have some issues that I would love to discuss with you all and just briefly give my opinion on. First, I want to start by saying, hope that everyone is having a blessed and awesome day. Hope your Wednesday hump day is going well. I know I've been kind of late with my podcast, guys, but believe me, I am working intensively behind the scenes to definitely try and get my platform up and running as to where I think it should be. I had previously recorded this last night, but I went back and listened to it and I didn't like it. So I thought I'd re-record it. Plus I wanted to add a couple of things and subtract a couple of things. I don't know if you guys heard me on my, Unusual_Blessings IG live one day where I discussed, recalls. I was at the Publix in Watkinsville, Georgia, and I was going in to get a salad, and I wanted, I thoroughly enjoy boiled eggs cut up in my salad, and I was going to buy two because I was kind of in a hurry that day, and there was a lady in the line, and she had seen these particular eggs pre-boiled, already peeled and everything. She had seen them on an app they call eRecall, and the correct spelling, let me find that, the correct spelling of that is lowercase e, capital R-A-C-A-L-L. And if you go on that app, guys, if you download it on your phone, on your iPad, on your Droid, on your smartphones, you will go into it, and it's an app, and you have to, you know, download it and agree to it. But they have some very interesting things on the recall list. They have the most popular recalls. They have recalls that have been on long term, and they have short term recalls. You can find food. I found some products on there last night for people who are expecting babies. And I think it was the Woodward company with these, you know, straps that you can strap the baby in. I did note that there were 8 incidences where the buckle had broke on these actual contraptions and the baby fell out. So that's a very interesting app if you want to go and look on that. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that because I have some issues that I would like to talk about. First, you guys know I'm very vocal when it comes down to President Trump being the president. You know, there are just things that the president of the United States should and should not be doing. For one, he does a lot of twittering, and I think that in a professional situation as he is in, he is the leader of the free world. He is in the most exclusive branch of government in the United States. And, you know, this is just my opinion. These are not things that I, you know, I hope will deter you, but I have to speak on things that touch my heart, touch my soul. And yesterday, Trump called Stormy Daniels. We all know, I know you guys probably seen, he called Stormy Daniels a horse face. You know, we as women and people in this country have dealt with many, many issues. Women, on the other hand, deal with a different type of issue. Simply, I say that because we as women, if there's a male and he feels a certain attraction to you, men it's in their DNA, their testosterone, to want to be aggressive. Or maybe, you know, well, she's spoken candidly about his anatomy, and so he called her horse face. First of all, Mr. President, if you were not in a situation where you were cheating on your wife, you would not have to defend yourself against Stormy Daniels. Mr. Avenatti, who is her lawyer, is very adamant about things that are gonna come out in court, and that's still yet to be told. But Stormy Daniels is a thorn in the president's side. Rob Rosenstein, you know, Jeff Sessions is leading the investigation into this, what he calls the witch hunt. And I just don't feel like it's that much of a witch hunt, but again, that is yet to be told. And that leads me into what I wanted to respond to about T.I. Now, T.I. was on Twitter. He released his video to his new song, which is trending on Twitter. And T.I. Has a model, and she is in the Oval Office with him while he is delivering his performance, which it is under the Constitution, his First Amendment right, his freedom of speech, to voice his opinion. He had Melania Trump, the coat that she wore when she went to visit the kids who were detainees from the border situation. And I myself had a t-shirt, and it says, "I really do care." That was my freedom of speech. Well, T.I. made a video, and that was his freedom of speech. You know, you have to ask yourself, the type of White House that is being, and then the type of administration that is conducting business on a day-to-day basis as far as the White House goes right now, we have to look at each side of the coin. You know, if you are conducting yourself in a manner to command respect from all nationalities and ethnicities, you wouldn't have to worry about these types of attacks coming in on you. And I'm learning day in and day out that everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to agree with what you have to say. This is a very tense time in our country. We are facing a midterm election that is getting very dirty. We see all the time where there are being different attacks from the GOPs and the Dems, and we're all classified as the liberals and the Democrats and the Republicans. Everybody's breaking it down and into what we, you know, my side is right, because I think that the morality of this nation is at stake here. We as a country need to be able to come together, whether we're GOP, whether we're Democrat, whether we are liberals, whether we are right wing, left wing, the backside, whichever side you're on. Realize that we all are human. That takes me into my next point that I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you guys have seen about the journalist in Saudi Arabia who was killed and dismembered because of he was killed and dismembered, and the Saudis say they don't know anything about it. You know, I think, you know, when it comes down to defending our country, when it comes down to defending the American people and defending, you know, our borders, you know, Donald Trump is, in my opinion, he is very weak. You know, when Vladimir Putin came. He had a meeting with him. Kim Jong-un came and they had a meeting. You want to sit down and engage in conversations with all of these leaders. But, you know, you're taking Hispanic kids and kids of Hispanic descent, and you're separating them from their mothers and fathers, holding them in these different types of camps, and really putting children at risk. You know, it really touched my heart back, especially when the little baby, the little six-year-old girl, when it was all over the news with CNN, where the little girl was telling one of the attendees, you know, give me a phone. Let me call my auntie. Well, how are you going to do that? Do you know the number? This little child proceeds to tell the attendee, give her aunt's phone number. You know, that touched me then, and it still resonates with me right now. I couldn't imagine anybody taking my children and holding them only simply because they're trying to cross over and make a better life. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that everybody should just walk across, because that's a lot. Right, walk across the borders and everything. I do think we need reform, but there's a way and there's a method and an exacting morality way to do everything. And that leads me into the next point that I wanted to make. I wanted to kind of touch on the situations that are going on. First, let's start with the young gentleman who was going into his building where he resides, pays rent, and is a tenant of this particular, we don't know. I don't know if it was an apartment. It had to be an apartment building because he got on the elevator. But there was this particular woman who was outside. She was walking her dog, and she was very intent on, you know, at first not letting him in until he physically had to let himself into his building to get to his apartment, get to the elevator to get up to his apartment, and to be able to go into his home. And she was adamant about him not going up to his place of residency. You know, first of all, you're not the manager. You're not the manager on duty. You're not the security. You're not the groundskeeper. You're not any of these people. And incidentally, this certain lady, she worked for another housing development. And that was kind of crazy to me, but the lady has since been fired. But that just tells us where we are in this country, where we think that, you know, because we look at a person's skin color to attribute them to a certain type of class of people. And I am very much against that type of behavior, because I'm going to tell you something, people. This world is full of a lot of things, but if we don't have our grounding for one another, I was taught as a child, you treat people the way you will have them treat you, and it'll come back to you. You know, this podcast would not have came about if I had been in a place where I did not treat people as I wanted to be treated, because my unusual blessing came because I was a good steward of my character. I was a person who gave. I am a person who gives. And that giving leads me out here to put myself on the chopping block against things that maybe people don't care about. But these are things that I intensively care about. And, you know, to have this lady follow this gentleman up to his apartment, still questioning the fact, she wants to know who he's visiting, for one, that's none of your business. She wants to know why they let him in. Who are they? So that she can, you know, she tries to clean it up after she sees this gentleman is you know, going on to his place of residency. He's going on in. He's not, you know, harming her. He's not, you know, doing anything to cause any disruption in what is going on. And she's still adamantly going to follow him and follow him in. So, you know, these are things that, you know, start doing an inventory of your own heart. Start doing a check of your own situation. Check out who you are as a person. Not only you, I have to do it too. I have certain things that I look at in people because of how I have been treated in the past. And that is why I feel we have to stand up for the injustices that occur. Also, another point I wanted to make was about the young man. I think he's 12 years old, was in the Cobb County. The video started going viral. I was kind of like 510 to maybe see it yesterday on Twitter, where the young man, the little 12-year-old boy, was at a mall in Cobb County. From my understanding, he was told to stay away from the mall. He was there with his aunt, and the aunt proceeded to call the father on the phone. The police officer did not want to talk with the father, but he did proceed to manhandle this young man and treat him as if he were an older adult committing all types of crime. Now, my view on that, if you are a child, white, black, of any color, if you are told to stay away from a certain area, it is incumbent upon your parents, whoever is in charge of you, to make sure that you, by all means, stay away from the area. If you've done something that you're not supposed to be doing, and these shop owners and the management in these situations have asked you to not come and be there, don't go. That's all it is. Now, to break this analogy, I'm analyzing the situation with the best that I can, with the knowledge that I have acquired about the situation. Now, when it comes down to the manhandling of a child, this child was 12 years old. This is a grown man who is, I know, at least 5'11" to 6 feet 1 inches tall, handling a 12-year-old child. His aunt is getting upset. She's telling him, you know, you won't even talk to his father on the phone. This is my brother's son. I have him on the phone. You won't even get on the phone and converse with him. And he blatantly says no. You know, this type of behavior can't be accepted because, for one, this is a child. You, as an adult, being an officer of the law, should have maintained your respect, for one. For two, you should have found a better way to handle that situation, because there again, the aunt had to get upset. She's cursing. She's, you know, shouting out profanities, and she's, you know, saying, you're not going to handle him like that. You're not going to handle my nephew like that. You know, I want to, you know, she's getting upset. That could have been a situation where, and then this cop actually says, if you touch me again, I'm going to break your arm. What type of behavior is that? What you should have said was, I'm going to call backup. I'm going to, you know, spray her with the pepper spray, whatever you thought you may have to do. But she's in defense of her nephew. That's a natural reaction to that's a natural reaction of an adult who is trying to defend a child that they obviously care and love. So, you know, that situation should have been handled a little bit differently. I think that, you know, being able to diffuse these situations with police officers is something that the police officers academy should be teaching these police officers that are up and coming. The academies have to teach some type of race relations, because people, we can sit here and spout there is no, you know, white privilege, or there's no, you know, racism, and there's no, subconsciously,
There's no, you know, racism. That's just not accurate, people. And we, and until we can tackle these issues and tackle them with tact and respect of one another, then we're not going to move forward. You know, I have a lot of white friends and I love everybody, you know, but I have had a cousin who was murdered by the Ku Klux Klan at 18 years old. They killed him. They put him on a railroad track and the train ran over him and cut his head off. I live with that in my mind for the last 26 years. So I'm not going to lie to you and say I don't have some type of subconscious thing going on about race. I was standing at the bus stop at 13 years old and this nasty white couple rolled by me and was calling me all kinds of the N-words. You know, as a child, I had to endure that. I was crying, upset. And by the way, you can find that in my book, Unusual Blessings. It is out on Amazon. It is out on Kindle. You know, but having to live through those things, those are the types of issues and situations that, you know, can play back in a person's mind and cause them to snap. You know, I was looking at a court case where it's a TV show called Love and Hate. And there was this young girl and she was a white girl and she had been out and they killed a black man, and they thought that the judge, who was a black judge, and this happened in Mississippi, they thought he was being racist, but the judge had a history of bringing people back in, the families of the accused, and talking with them and trying to keep peace with the people, with the victims and the victims and their families and the accusers and their families. This young lady was sentenced to 5 years in prison. But the one thing that the judge told the mother, this young man and this young lady had heard from their mother, because she said it, she had heard it from her mother. You all are 50. You living like the N-words. You know, you're living like niggers. So whether they had black friends or not, that was a seed that was planted. And like the judge told her, if you, you know, you don't bring that in with her daughter. Don't put those types of seeds in the ground and you won't get a harvest from those. I'm going to get ready to go out of here. But I did want to talk about one more story. I wanted to talk about the lady who called the police on the black father who was at the soccer game and was agreeing. I repeat, was saying that the referee had made the call and that the call was right. He was talking strictly to his son. He did not use any profanity. He did not, you know, he didn't, you know, use any vulgar language. He wasn't belligerent. He wasn't being facetious. He never spoke to anyone outside of his son. This was a soccer game of kids, I think, from the ages of 14 to 16. There was a lady sitting on her on a golf cart. She proceeds to call the police to report this situation. So there was another lady who proceeded to record the situation. And I do want to note, I did not agree with the police officer. When I saw the video, viewed the video, in the video, the police said that she had the right to call the police if she thought something was going on. First of all, the man tried to leave because he was stated three times, I was not talking in a mean or facetious manner. I was talking to my son in agreeance with what the referee, the call that the referee had sent down. And I'm not going to sit here and go into this with you. Again, this is another case of police being called for no apparent reason. You know, my lasting comments on this issue is, people, we've got to stand for something or will fall for anything. Stand up for what you know is right. I'm on here talking about what I feel because I'm trying to stand up for what I know is right. I also want you all to vote. We are in a very, very tough midterm election period where we have to show up and ring our voices. Let your voice be heard. Whoever you're voting for, whether you're black, you're white, whatever, whoever you're voting for, go vote. You know, my grandfather was from Athens, Georgia. And well, he was from St. Louis, but he lived in Athens, Georgia. He fought for the integration of the University of Georgia. My father before him, after him, my physical father, that was my grandfather. My physical father was a part of the first integrated class here at Clark Central in 1970. My father went to jail with my grandfather at 8 years old because they protested. And today I stand on their shoulders trying to continue. And they passed the torch on to me. I didn't know a lot of that stuff until here recently. But I take that very seriously because, you know, we have to have people out here fighting for what's right. You guys be on the lookout for my website updates. I know I'll keep telling you, but I'm working vigorously with New Way Studios in Buckhead, trying to get this thing situated, up and running. My t-shirt store will be open. I'm going to try and add sweatshirts to the list. It is getting cool. I want to be able to offer those types of shirts. Again, that's tundehector.net. That's tundehector.net. Check out my YouTube, Tundi Hector. Check out my LinkedIn page, Tundi Hector. Check out my several IG pages, unusual_blessings on IG. May as well give you my personal page, and that's R Miss Always On Point. That's my nickname, Miss Always On Point. So if you want to check out any of those pages and just check me out, that will be good. I'm continuing to go to acting school at Get Seen in the Midtown Atlanta area. I will be, you know, soon moving to that area. So again, you guys have a good day. Don't let the negativity get to you. Just want to come on and discuss a few things, let you all know what is going on. And again, this is Tundi of the Unusual Blessings podcast. You guys have a good day. What's up? Unusual Blessings podcast listeners, how are you guys doing today? Today is July the 10th, 2019. Came on today because I want to talk about a couple of issues that, have me in my feelings, and y'all know I'll get in my feelings in a minute. First, I want to say that on yesterday was my birthday, and I celebrate my life thanking God that He allowed me to be here to see another birthday. It is truly a blessing to be on this side of the grave. Today's podcast is about a couple of issues. But my main issue today that I came to discuss was racism. I have kind of wanted to do several podcasts on this subject, but I didn't want to offend anybody because people get touchy when you talk about race and when you talk about certain issues. But it has to be talked about, because if we don't talk about it, you know, where will we be in the next 20 to 25 years as a community, as a population of people? You know, we all have to be able to live, breathe, and be around one another. And we've got to, you know, have some type of sensitivity. I know everybody doesn't care about everything. You know, you'll see some paper. I don't care. And which that's cool. You know, I'm not telling everybody that you have to be, you know, worried about each issue that concerns another race of people. But ever since the Central Park 5 and their story, I wanted to do something on socialism and racism. First, I did want to say that I did pass my TEAS test for nursing school, and I'm proud of that. But it's expensive. It's $30,000, and it's like, wow, I don't have $30,000, and I'm capped out of money. What I'm going to do about that? But I'm just going to continue to keep trying, keep pushing forward. That is about all that I can do. And trust that God will take care of the rest. Yes, so like I said, I wanted to do an episode on the Central Park 5, but I did not do it simply because I made reference to it in some other places, but I didn't make reference to it on my podcast. And so this is, you know, my outlet, my place to vent and tell you guys what's really going on in my little world. So here it is. You know, in 89, if you had not heard of the Central Park 5 and the numerous cases that have been plagued at our media and social media and our internet areas and genres, if you hadn't heard of the Central Park 5, there were a group of five black men who at the time were teenagers, the oldest one being 16. And I want to think the youngest one, I think he was 13, if I'm not mistaken. But these guys were out in Central Park, New York, and they came upon a situation, you know, just being out, being kids, doing what kids do. They ended up, you know, out there that night on the same night where a young woman, 28 years old, had been raped and beaten severely and close to death. So at the end of the day, these young men were hauled off and put into jail situations and segregated, some of them, most of them without the guardian's permission. And there was one Islamic guy who was fortunate enough to have a mother who came in just as he was signing the confession, and just to, you know, enact her son's Fifth Amendment right not to say anything that might incriminate him, which he hadn't done anything either way it went. But you, in order to be able to question a young person, you have to have the permission and the legal guardian's permission to do so. So these guys spent, you know, several years, several is two, we'll say seven, because they spent 7 years in prison, in juvenile. And the oldest one of the bunch was the one who went through the most, and who just went along with his friend because he didn't want to get in trouble by his mother. And he suffered the greatest miscarriage of justice. But at the end of the day, it was because he went to prison that his counterparts and friends that he, you know, grew these bonds along the way, became good friends. It was because of him that they ultimately were free. You know, socialism and racism is so alive. And, you know, and I, me don't, not wanting to offend anybody who is a friend of mine that may be white, black, or Hispanic, or any other color. I'm not trying to offend. I'm trying to shed light. And we as a community have to recognize that we have to do that. It is our duty as human beings to shed light on these issues. I was just wanting to make light of even down to the district attorney who prosecuted these cases some years ago. She ended up quitting her position as lead prosecutor in these cases. Linda Fairstein is paying a dear price for her racist past, particularly in the Central Park 5 ordeal. She was leading and guiding force in wanting to, you know, absolutely get these young men, I call it hanged. She was a Central Park hang leader, you want to call it. She took a big role in trying to paint the picture of these young black men as degenerates and people that are not fitting for society and make them out to be criminals. These, as much as they can, you know, say that these acts that they performed, and they still to this day holding to their guns, you know. Ava DuVernay came up with that Netflix miniseries that was awesome, and I know, you know, many people have by now seen it, but, you know, we've got to shed light on these issues. There's nothing wrong with rewarding your brother man, your fellow brother man, for something good that he has done. Why must we all look at each other as if we have a communicable disease because we're not all the same color? And we also must recognize that we were brought up different. We were trained different. Our morals and beliefs are different. And once we can hold tight to those, you know, recognitions, that's the only way we as a community are going to stand and rise. Just no other way. And, you know, if we sit around and say, well, I'm scared and I don't want to say anything about it, and, you know, I just don't know. And what's going to be done? Nothing. You know, you guys have heard me make mention of my cousin who was 18 years old, and the Ku Klux Klan killed him, put him on a railroad track, and the train ran over him and cut his head off. And that's why I talk about these issues, so that he will know that me as his family member did not forget about him, did not forget about the injustices that have happened. That's why I talk about these injustices. Nobody's going to be or was ever held accountable for what happened to my family member. But if we'll continue to allow these situations to keep progressing, and nobody does anything, the world is going to go run rapid. I mean, racism is already running rapid. We have a president who, you know, just is oblivious. And that's all I can say. You know, he's oblivious to anything. You know, I think that Donald Trump should have stayed in his genre, which is business. You know, I think being the president was on his bucket list. And for him to come out, and I think he's tearing up this country. I think we've gone back 20 years, stepped back 20 years, just because of the amount of violence that has taken place here recently. We find so many situations of, just as I was just talking about that situation, we just find so many issues of people doing things to other black people, or people doing things to black people that just do not make any sense. Just like the young man who attacked a group of black children with a water hose. And this is not 1960, but why would he do that? You know, you traumatize kids for no apparent reason. Why? Because this is what you wanted to do. A 15-year-old Somalian girl, her and her siblings were attacked by a hose by Zachary Manaha from Faribault, Minnesota, on their way home. As he assaulted them, He yelled deplorable slurs at the children because they were Somalian. First of all, that wasn't any of his business. Those kids were not harassing him. They were not talking to him. They did not raise any issue with him. They weren't trying to be mean to him. The only thing they were doing was walking home. He sprayed them, yelling effing Somalians and bitch Somalians. All Jezza reported that Manahar told police he was trying to spray offense, not just this neighbor. You know, who's to believe that? Who is to believe that's all he was doing? You know, nobody wants to admit anything until they get punched in the face. You know, nobody wants to say they're wrong until they get punched in the face. And until we punch somebody in the face and say, hey, you're wrong for what you're doing. This is not the way we should treat one another. Then we won't progress as a people. That was just something that I had on my heart. A couple of other things. Like I said, it was my birthday and I did get in nursing school. And I am very proud of that. Just keep looking out. Next week is Robert Mueller's time to be in front of Congress on the 17th. Keep that in mind. I speak on these issues simply because I just feel that we as a people should stand together and we will be together. If it means that I turn people away from me, then I can't do anything about that. Because at the end of the day, just like I just told you all, I was raised as a young black woman. I have had things happen to me as a young black woman, and I cannot push away from the experience of being a young black woman. So, you know, whatever you do, treat your friends right. Treat people right. Do not, you know, take people's lives into your hands. Do not take and think because they are of a certain race or nationality that they are inherently bad, because that is not the case. We all live in this world and we all have to preserve it, and we all have to be good to each other so that we can stop some of the madness, because this is affecting kids. I have two young black males that I have raised, and my baby is about to be 17. And, you know, we were just in the car and I was taking him to work, and I was just telling him about the police. And, you know, because we were passing a police officer, I said, put your seatbelt on. And he said, okay. He said, well, as long as you do right, you don't have to worry about, you know, getting pulled over. Then he said, unless you just get pulled over because you're black. And I kind of looked at him and I felt hollow. You know, I was like, what can I tell my child about being pulled over as a young black male if I tell him, you know, make sure you respond to the police officers in the correct way? You know, I was pulled over by the police 3 weeks ago, and I picked up a FaceTime to tell my mother I was on my way to church and that I had macaroni and cheese in the car and that I was on my way from where I live in Atlanta, Georgia, to where I am from, and go to church for my mother's 17th year past the anniversary. And this is Georgia State Patrol. I mean, he's riding along, and he finally, because I didn't think he was stopping me because it had been so far back that he saw me. And my son was like, Mama, he trying to stop you. So I stopped and I asked him, I said, what you pull me over for? And he's like, you had your phone up. And in the state of Georgia, you know, they have the hands-free law. Well, the sun melted my little prong to keep my hands-free system up, you know, my little thingy that holds the phone. And I have an 04. I don't have an 05 or 06 or up-to-date model car where I have Bluetooth or anything of that nature. So he was looking around in the car, and I seen how he was looking at the truck when he was coming up, and you could tell he was here for it, you know. And he scared me. I'm like, why you come up to the car so aggressive for, you know, what was that all about? You know, so if I had had some kind of aggressive bone in my body and felt, you know, unnervingly, I could have really, you know, I could have really just went off on him, because and then he gave me a ticket. And I asked him, I said, I explained to you, showed you the macaroni and cheese in the whole situation, and you still gonna give me a ticket? Yeah, let me tell you why. That's what he said. Yeah, let me tell you why. We investigate more wrecks in this area. Okay, I understand that. But I clearly told you I don't sit and ride with my phone in my hand and you still give me a ticket. So just be weary, guys, when you're out. Be weary and just, you know, I think we all have to do what our mamas taught us to do. If you treat people right, you will be all right. If you treat people with respect, you'll be all right. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But if we keep with that mantra, we may be able to combat some of these issues. And then again, it's your girl, Tunde. Social media platforms, unusual_blessings. Tunde Hector on LinkedIn. Tunde Hector on Twitter. You know, run Tunde Hector on Facebook. I have my Tunde Hector fan page. My brand, Unusual Blessings. On the 18th, I call that the official launch date. My book will be out as of then, a year. So my baby, my brand baby, birth 1 year birthday will be on July 18th, and that is on next Thursday. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud of, you know, just the strides that I have made in the last couple of years. And again, on next Thursday is the 2-year anniversary of my viral video